Yeah, I like that. Good morning, church. How are you guys this morning? Woo! Come on, the rowdy church is who we are. Let me hear you out there. Turn to your neighbor and give them a big fist bump and tell them how good they look. Say, you look really good today. Hey, just want to encourage you on a couple of things as far as heart and soul goes tonight. We're going to have salsa bar because of yesterday. May the 4th be with you. No, we got Cinco de Mayo going on. So we'll come tonight. Also, if you need childcare, you can sign up for it at the class when you pick up your kid, from babies to five-year-olds. But here's the thing is tonight is going to be a really important night for us. And there's a couple of things that we want to share that are really important in the life of our church. And I just don't want you to miss. So if you call this your home and your community, come and join us tonight at 6:30 for Heart and Soul Night. We do these once a quarter. That way we can kind of, or once every three, whatever those are. What's a three? If we have three seasons, that's once a trimester. Thank you. That's not a quarter. That would be four or three. I don't know. It's all good. Come on. I want to pray for us, and we're going to spend some time in God's word, and let's grow. Let's get shape. Let's change. Let's allow Jesus to move in us today, right? Can we thank Aji this morning for sharing the word with us? And Aaron, the drummer, is the one that does the video, and I'm just so grateful for what he does. Come on, let's give him a big hand. And last week, if you didn't see it, which you probably won't be able to see it, we might have to like have a little sneak preview of the one that he did about Avengers. And some of you guys were like, what is that? I don't even know what's happening. That's okay. If you're under 40, you understand. If you're over, just go with it. Just enjoy it. Just smile and like, yeah, I love my church. I have no idea what's going on right now. It's okay. Your pastor wears white pants that don't go all the way down to his shoes. It's okay. It's all right. You just breathe. Just breathe. Father, I just thank you for the moment that we get to be together. Lord, Sundays is the first day of the week that we set aside to be with you. And Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to meet us, that God, there is nothing that is impossible for you. And so we step into that possibility today, that in the air in this room, there's possibility, there's hope. And so, Lord, whatever it is that we're facing, we thank you that there is hope for us to be had today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, we've been in a series just starting last week called Being an Influencer, being all that God created us to be. And I want to, we're kind of going through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're basing kind of our whole series on. And so we're going to be looking at people who were tremendous influencers in history, that the writer of Hebrews kind of deems these people as people of tremendous faith. And we just got to start off understanding that faith is the bedrock of being an influencer. Now, the idea of being an influencer, I think for me as a young man, I was always waiting for, and maybe I was a daydreamer, I don't know if you were, but in my mind, I was always waiting for these moments when I would be an influencer. You know, when I would get the ball in the basketball game, it would be my opportunity to make the shot that would win the game. I remember being in class and daydreaming about that I would get these robbers as they were going from a bank, and I would trip them and somehow, you know, I would stop them. And there was these moments where I kept looking for in my life these significant moments where I would kind of step into being an influencer. I think a lot of us, maybe you didn't think of stopping bank robbers like I did. But maybe a lot of us have these thoughts in our mind, when I get this, then I will be all that I'm supposed to be. When I get that job, when I marry that person, when I'm in that relationship, when I finally get money, then, and you're like, man, I'm still praying for when I finally get the money. But then I'll be an influencer. And I believe that, yes, those moments are significant and true. And we see Moses and he had the staff, and we see David when he had the rock. And there is moments throughout our life and history where these things become significant, and it's stepping into it. But there's something else about being an influencer that I actually want to talk about this morning. And the title of my message is Influencers are consistent.
There was two of you that were really excited about that.
Hebrews chapter 11 takes us into this journey of what it means to be an influencer and an influencer being consistent. It's not flashy. It's not that moment. It's not winning the ball game. It's actually the day in and day out. And I love how the writer of Hebrews takes somebody that's so obscure and makes them the cornerstone of his entire chapter on faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 6, it says this. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He, quote unquote, disappeared because God took him. Before he was taken, he was known as a person who pleased God. Now, what's crazy is verse 6 is, and if you've been in church for any period of time, verse 6 is kind of the verse that every good pastor uses to talk about faith. Verse 6 is the one that we're like, yes, faith is this. It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. But that verse has to be connected to Enoch. But what's crazy about Enoch is in the Old Testament, he's only given a few verses. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, let me read it to you. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. Wow, that's really exciting. This is groundbreaking church right here. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had sons and daughters. Verse 23, Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared because God took him. That's all we get. Like, I mean, we have whole books dedicated to so many people. That's all we get. And yet, the writer of Hebrews creates this man as the shifting point in what he wants to lean into when it comes to faith. Because I believe that faith is not just about a moment, but it's actually living in consistency 365 days a year. Enoch lived in such a way that the reality of heaven became more real than anything else. When you see that the Bible says that Enoch lived 365 years and then disappeared and stepped into heaven, you get this idea that Enoch saw something that he was living in every day. It was the reality of heaven in his present. And it wasn't just looking for a moment. It was that which he believed that caused consistency throughout his life, that when he finally came to that place, he just stepped into what he had always seen as a present reality. What if faith shaped our everyday? Being an influencer is not just walking out, I am a Christian. But it's that I see the reality of God in my everyday. And that I live in his present in this moment. So the writer of Hebrews indicates two things that Enoch did and saw. I love this because he's shaping the way you and I think. Because the way we've been programmed is that and maybe, I don't know about you, but how many of us have tremendous drama in our life? How many of us have these incredible highs and these tragic lows, and we feel like everything is this ebb and flow and there's this craziness around us? And yet we see in this passage that the writer of Hebrews is talking about faith causing something in us, that we live in a way that shapes our behavior, our concept, and our reality. that God is not just off in a distance and I have an acknowledgement of him, but that his reality is present in my everyday. And because of that, it shapes the way I live. That it creates this evenness, this consistency. It becomes the same, not the same boring, but the same in which I know he is here. So there's two things that the writer of Hebrews indicates for us that shifts everything. Number one, as he describes Enoch, he says this. And verse 6, and it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists. The reality of God begins to shape our everyday. He is more, therefore, we engage him in everything. The reality of who he is and what he does becomes more apparent than anything else. I see him here. Jesus did this. When the Bible talks about Jesus and the way he walked, it says that he only did what he saw the Father doing. God's present reality was in Jesus's everyday. So what he saw the Father doing, he did in his everyday. Joseph, in the Old Testament, when Potiphar's wife was telling him, hey, you look good. And I'm sure in his mind, he's like, yeah, you look pretty good too. But what shapes your present reality is not just holding on to good or bad, rules and no rules. Because to be honest, when it doesn't feel good, that's when we're willing to eject all of the rules that we've been trying to follow. Because we were never meant to shape our reality based on a list. We were meant to shape our reality with the presence of God in our everyday. So Joseph says, I can't do this. Why? You're a woman, I'm a man. Come on, let's get down. This is how it works. In case you haven't lived in our present society, that's pretty much how we all think. If it feels good, let's do it. Come on, let's just get this on. You're not married? I am, but who's counting? And Joseph, in that moment, not goes, wait, I got to pull out my Bible and figure out this is one of the rules. I don't remember reading that one, but let me just go back and make sure. No, he's like, I can't, because he'll see. He's here. Enoch walked with God. And then one day, he just went into the reality of what he always knew was present in his everyday. So therefore, death no longer holds us captive because, by the way, in one split second, I go from what my present reality is into the reality I've always known and lived by. He is here with me. Okay. Stephen, in the New Testament, he was one of the men that the church had kind of set apart to help distribute food and take care of the widows. And so Stephen, a man of the Holy Spirit, he was preaching to the religious leaders, and they got totally mad, ticked out of their mind, and they grabbed Stephen and they took him and they began to throw stones. And while Stephen was being stoned, what he saw in his present reality, his eyes had already been seeing, and then in that moment, the reality of what he always saw became what he stepped into. I know that was a whole mouthful, and I was making it up as I was preaching it, but here it is. Here's what it says. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand, and then he told them, look, this is while he's being stoned. My TV doesn't work. I wonder where God is. I know it's never happened to you. But Stephen sees something. But I think it's not just in this moment. I think the reality that he's always seen. Otherwise, how would he stand in that moment? Because he's always seen what his real reality is, that heaven is here because of what Jesus has done. That the reality of heaven is actually in our midst. God's presence walks with me everywhere I go. And because of that, it shapes my behavior, my pattern. An influencer is consistent. Their message is the same. The way they live is consistent because God is with them every moment of the day. So when I'm home and no one's around, he's there. When I'm at the office and no one would know if I actually took a couple of things from the office, consistency is not based on a desire to be boring. Yet, isn't it funny how when we think of consistent, we immediately go to boring. Like, where's the zip? Where's the pizzazz? Go ahead. But that's actually not based on what God has for us. But I don't know what I was going to say. It was going to be good, but I love verse 56. Then he told them, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Hebrews 4:13 through 16 says this, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Just in case you didn't know, I read that for you. Now, that should bring a sense of, oh, mama mia. But I'm not going to leave you there because verse 14 says this, so then, since we have a great high priest, we don't have to run for our life. Because he's here, and he is who he is, and we feel that sense of, oh, God, I forgot this miss. Okay. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come, let us come, let us stand, let us be, let us exist boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And there we will receive mercy and will be given grace. In my everyday, this is the reality in which I live. Heaven is here. Jesus tore the veil that separated man from the presence of God, which means we get to abide in this. So consistency is actually understanding that he exists, and not just some in faraway place that we kind of wave from a distance and then go about our life. It's that he's walking in our present, not to condemn, not to point out, not to look at every piece of our life and judge it. So judgy. I saw you. But he does this because this is who we were created to be. To walk with him in our everyday. And because of Jesus, now we actually get mercy and grace. Mercy to identify who we really are, and grace empowerment so that we can walk out who we are. mercy so that we can understand who we are. I'm His. He's with me, and He's never, ever going to leave me. He walks with me. He talks with me. I'm in relationship with Him, not just today on Sunday, but the moment I leave this place, I'm in fellowship with Him. I'm understanding that we walk together, and I don't have to formulate all of my favorite prayers or figure it all out. I just talk to Him because He's here. Enoch walked with God and then was no more. I've been talking with God so much that when I step from this life into eternity, I'm not going to be shocked. We've been friends since I was 5 years old. There comfortably. Ooh, these lights are hot. Got the right pants on, though. It's perfect. But then you wonder why I wear short sleeves. And yeah, it's hot out here. We're working on it. Oh, yes, Lord, what was that? Bro, we're all in this room. Pass some love, man. Oh, my gosh. In case you didn't hear that in the back, he just opened up a can in the front row. It's brilliant. Number two, what shapes our everyday? And He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. It's so important when one thinks of consistency with the idea of reward. But I think we have to understand the reward, because many times we become so temporal because we're so used to immediate. And we're like mad when we call for someone to come and service our home because of our home warranty. If you've never been to Texas, I didn't even know that it existed. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I bought a house and I get a home warranty. What does that mean? And then we're mad when they don't come because our air conditioning's broken. We're like dying of heat today, right now. But the reality here is that reward is seeing something that is greater than just my air conditioning being fixed. You see, Enoch and the writer of Hebrews is connecting 365 days of consistency with the reality of the reward to our living in consistent faith. That is influence, consistency of faith, and the faith shapes our character, behavior, and direction. Now, Paul helps us see this when he connects a slave to a master. I think I shared this last week, but I needed to bring it back around. Because I think so many times we lose consistency when we are praying for something to change and it doesn't. But I think we're thinking of a reward right now like a dog. I rolled over, do I get a treat? But God is building something that is far greater and does not be shaken. That's not right words. I know that for all of you who take notes of my words. But we are not shaking because the reward that I experience is far greater than anything I could get in a momentary fix. If heaven is my reality, then I see something that is much deeper and wider than just a dog treat. Watch, because Paul has to lean into this, because in the day in which they lived, slaves were becoming Christians. They were following, they were giving their life to God, and in their mind, they were like, well, He should free us from our present turmoil. The moment I believe, if heaven is reality, then come on, brother! And they were running wild, and then chaos was taking place. Now, I just want to say this. He's not sharing this because he believes that slavery is good. On the contrary, God never intended us to be slaves. But what I love about Paul is he's dealing with deeper issues so that Christ can influence in a greater way than just creating chaos. Because sometimes God places you in places that you don't want to be, but because He wants you to be a consistent influencer.
Oh, some of you are like, I hate this message. I didn't write it. I got it off the internet. Okay. Just kidding. Oh my gosh, that would be so terrible. Okay. Paul explains. Look at Colossians 3:22. This is so good. Slaves, obey your earthly master in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for a different present reality. I added that in there. He says working for the Lord rather than for people. That's what we're talking about. Now look at verse 24. Remember. So he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's part two of Enoch's faith. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance. This is right here in the scriptures. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong that you do, for God has no favorites. Now, some of you read that and like, oh, God doesn't love me. No, it means this. Just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't give you the excuse to do shoddy work. God's not just going to cover up because you're like, oh, brother, I'm a Christian. Let's go into business together. And then you jack that person. If faith is real, then it shapes how I react and how I respond in my everyday. So when I build, last week we talked about this, because of the freedom I have in Christ, I've now been given freedom to bring my best, because I'm not doing it to please anyone. I'm doing it because in my present reality, I see that God is with me and he gives me mercy so I can see who I am and grace to do my best for him. Which then gives me consistency every day. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I do everything right. But it gives me consistency because I'm constantly having this dialogue with him. The Bible goes on and on and on about this idea of reward. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this, so don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. The writer of Hebrew is giving us an indication that our eyes are set on a reward that is more than a doggy treat. I rolled over. You love me, don't you? Give me everything I've ever wanted. But yet I hear that, and I sometimes feel that myself. But this is what he says. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Verse 37, for in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Enoch lived 365 years as the writer of Hebrews takes this obscure little story and says to us, listen, there is a reality that we can live on. God is present and he wants to shape our everyday, because being an influencer is being consistent. And I close with this verse. It's Hebrews 13, 7 through 8. He starts with this. Appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God. That's why I read this one. No, I'm just kidding. Take a good look at the way they live and let their faithfulness instruct you as well as their truthfulness. There should be consistency that runs through us all. Why?
Because our present reality, look at this verse, because our present reality is Jesus doesn't change. Yesterday, today, he's always the same. Right? And what I love about when he says we can come boldly because there's mercy and grace, do you know then what sin becomes, or when you make a mistake, it becomes more about identity? That's not who you are. Mercy, I'll show you who you are. Stop choosing that, because that's not who you are. And then grace comes to empower us to walk every day in our present reality that God is with us. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me as we close? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Would you just close your eyes for a moment? I want you to see that he's here in our midst. That he loves you and is for you. And he wants to generate that faith that Enoch had to live every single day in the presence that he has with us right now. That our present reality becomes, he is with me. So when I'm at school, when I'm with my boyfriend or girlfriend, or I'm at work, or I'm in my house by myself, that the reality of who he is begins to shape what I do. And not because of fear, not because of pain, or he doesn't love you. On the contrary, he loves you so much that he knows that him being with you actually shows you who you were made to be. So that we stop wrecking ourselves and we start living in a consistency of who we are, who he is, and what he's called us to be and do. And so he starts with, in the Bible, a simple declaration of Jesus, I invite you. He doesn't impose his will. He wants to be invited into our life. And then when we do, he wants to come and create residency with his love. And so if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to take up residence in your life, the Bible says it starts with a simple yes. By faith, I believe that Jesus is the answer. And he has provided a way for me to stand in the presence of the living God who wants to walk with me and talk with me and be with me. And so if you have never asked that, if you've never declared that, maybe you have in your past, but you have felt just that sense of loss, or that you're kind of wandering and you just want a fresh declaration of Jesus, I just invite you again into my life. Would you raise your hand today with me and say, Jesus, I invite you again today. Take my life. I want to step into your reality in my present. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Come, Lord, with your grace and your mercy. Now, there's a second group of us that I believe that many of us have been struggling with this idea of consistency. And maybe it's because of sin. Maybe it's because of decisions that we make. Maybe we've done things that we feel ashamed of. But I read that verse. Because of Jesus, we can come boldly into his presence and stand confidently. And so stand confidently today, knowing that who he is shaping your everyday, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let it shape the way you love your wife and your husband. Let it shape the way you treat your children. Let it shape the way you work at your job. Let it shape your everyday. And so maybe it's just an admittance and saying, God, will you forgive me for trying to do this on my own and forgetting what my real reality is that you're here now. He's here now. So come on, let's respond with this song. And let's let his presence overwhelm us and bring us into a place of consistency of faith. Whew, in Jesus' name, come, Lord. Come on, let's sing it.